Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, welcome back. We're having a rocking St. Patrick's Day here on the Patrick Madrid Show. What a surprise, right? Keep in mind that next Friday the Pope is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary during the celebration of penance in St. Peter's Basilica. And a papal envoy will do the same at the same time in Fatima. So please, you're invited to join us here at Relevant Radio on Friday morning for special live coverage from Rome. Be sure to join Drew Mariani today at 3 p.m. Central as he continues his nine-day novena for peace as we prepare our hearts for this historic event next week. And be sure to gather your family together each night as our prayers for peace in Ukraine and your intentions continue during our family rosary across America. All right, I want to share with you an email that I received, and it may hit home. I'm just going to read it to you. This is from Anonymous. Patrick, we listen to you on the radio every day on our way to and from work. I'm married 45 years. Now, I believe she's saying she's been married for 45 years. Her husband is a lifelong Catholic who could have been a deacon or a priest because he's so devoted. He prays morning, noon, and night, rosary once or twice a day, liturgy of the hours quite often, helps the poor, needy, anyone who asks. He goes and gives more than asked. He's taught RCIA, which is Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, many Bible studies, faith formation classes, etc. However, now I want to press pause here on this letter and suggest to you parents that if you have kids listening right now, this would not be an appropriate letter for them to hear. It's going to get into a topic that's not age appropriate for children. So I'm serious about this. Fair warning. Cyrus?
Ready, steady. All right, turn down those radios,
yeah,
parents.
Ready, steady, go.
Go.
Yeah, turn down the radio. Don't turn it off, but just turn it down. Or shoo the kids into a different part of the house.
That's even a better idea. Just shoo them. Shoo them.
Shoo.
You get.
Yeah. Okay, so I pressed unpause. Okay. However, she says, I just found out a couple of months ago that he looks at nude women on his cell phone on the internet. He stays up late most nights. I can't even remember when this started. 1 a.m., even 5 a.m. He would tell me he's recording movies or programs for us to watch on TV or deleting old stuff or he was doing his devotional readings or that he just fell asleep. I decided one morning at 3 a.m. to tiptoe down the stairs and surprise him. And that's when I saw the nude woman on his laptop screen. I was so shocked, I almost fainted. He quickly closed the laptop and got himself together and he asked what I was doing. She says, there's no one I can talk to about this, not my friends or my family. I told him it's a sin to do what he's doing, and he rationalized it away, saying that the Ten Commandments say that killing is a sin unless... So his theory is he's doing it for his health. He said he saw on YouTube that masturbating helps prevent prostate cancer, even though I called my urologist, and he told me testing is inconclusive, and his nurse said that she's never even heard of that in her 20 years of working for the urologist. He also told me I don't have relations with him as much as he needs. We're in our mid-60s now, and starting about 2 or 3 years ago, I'll just condense what she said to say that the frequency has diminished. He says, since we no longer are intimate as often as before, this habit, he says, satisfies his craving that he's had for years. He swears that this doesn't change his feelings about the love he has for me or how he values me. I have so many bad feelings now, though, about him being a dirty old man. So disappointed that he's let himself fall into this filthy pit. I'm suspicious of him, sad, embarrassed, angry, confused. But I'm not jealous of the women. He won't go to therapy or a priest or confess because he said that this is all part of who he is as a human, and he doesn't feel it sinful. I told him pornography leads to changes in his brain and can lead him to wanting to see more or worse things, or act out to the point of even becoming a pervert, acting out in public or looking for satisfaction in the real world and not just on the screen. But he told me he doesn't look at the dirty stuff. He only looks at the bodies and the act that God made beautiful. If you tell me what he's doing isn't a sin because he has viable reasons, then okay, I'll accept what he's doing. But I need confirmation and just can't justify this. He's the most wonderful husband, father, grandfather, brother, friend, etc. But this doesn't seem acceptable to me. I can't imagine separating from him over this. But how do I live with it? Okay. Well, I mean, you were right. You are right that what he's doing is wrong. It's morally wrong. I mean, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. So what we look at, and even more importantly, what you allow yourself to think about when you look at things is the issue here. So let's say henceforth and forever, so everybody knows, that pornography is a serious sin. It's also a very easy sin to fall into. It's not hard to fall into this sin. It's not at all difficult. For one reason, we live in a society now where you don't have to go looking for it. It comes looking for you. Pornography is everywhere. You know me. I'm Mr. Wet Blanket when it comes to my mantra about don't let your kids have smartphones. Don't let them have smartphones. Don't let them have smartphones. The reason is because if they're on the smartphones, they're going to find the pornography very quickly. Even if you say, well, they're innocent and we pray the family rosary and they're homeschooled and they're too young to know about that stuff, trust me, they will find it or it will find them and it won't take long. And all they have to do is go on YouTube and watch the tutorial videos about how to get around your parents' filtering software on the phone. So there's some software that you can't get around. But parents, please take my heartfelt advice on this. This is a very serious issue. Now, the reason I mention that is because that's an example of just how easy it is for pornography to find you. Now, if you're a grown man, you know where to look for it. Certain keywords you type in and off you go. So because pornography and the sins that are associated with pornography, as this woman is mentioning that her husband has fallen into, because these are so easy to get into, it's doubly dangerous because they're also extremely powerful. Let's not forget that God designed the human body, especially the female form, if you ask me, to be extremely beautiful. And he also, he created men and women with a very powerful sex drive. And the reason is so that we would procreate, so that we would perpetuate the race. If there was no pleasure associated with it, there wouldn't be any people here. Because let's face it, it costs money to rear a child. And it's a drain on your time and energy. It's a wonderful drain, if you ask me, having children and all that goes with it. But if there were no intense pleasure associated with the act that leads to procreation, there wouldn't be any people here. In the same way, I think that if there wasn't pleasure involved in eating food, there would be very few people here because it's like, what's, you know, why do I want to eat food just to stay alive? And so on and so forth. So my point is, it's an easy sin to fall into, and it's a powerful sin that is very addictive. And once it gets you, it can be very difficult to escape from it. It's not impossible, and many have. But in a world in which pornography and the things associated with pornography are celebrated and encouraged even, many people don't find an incentive to try to break free from it. And as you correctly pointed out, Anonymous, this is the kind of thing where very often, maybe more often than not, people, they have to ratchet things up in order to keep that same level of pleasure intake. And so what once was sufficient at one time no longer is sufficient anymore. And that craving that comes with an addiction, it requires more and worse in some cases in order to get that satisfaction. And that's where lots of people wind up dead or in jail, because they can't escape from this monster that they have let loose. So the other thing I just want to mention is he's rationalizing, as you pointed out, it's plain and simple, he's rationalizing. And all the excuses about the urologist telling him that if you don't want to get prostate cancer, this will help. No, it won't. It's a way of rationalizing it. And to go back to an earlier conversation we had a few days ago, you can't do something evil in order to have a good goal. So if your goal is not to get prostate cancer, that's a good goal. Nobody wants that. But you can't do something evil, and this is evil. It's an abuse of your own body. It's an abuse of the sexual powers that God endowed you with. And he endowed you with those sexual powers for a purpose. It's like nuclear energy. You've got to be really, really careful. You've got to contain it, because if you don't, there can be a meltdown that can destroy everything, including yourself. That's why this urge is so powerful, because it's for such an important purpose, and that is the furthering of our race, the furthering of human beings. And with that tremendous power comes the need to be very careful around it. You want to make sure that you don't let it get out of control, and that's what's going on here. So this is rationalizing, and all the stuff about prayers and rosary. I can't imagine that a man could be engaged in this sin and then pray the rosary every day, once or twice a day. So my guess is he's probably no longer praying the rosary. He's probably no longer praying, at least not in any real way. So let's look at, where do you go from here? My advice would be don't shy away from this with him. Don't go along to get along. Don't pretend that this will go away in due time. And I know maybe you're tempted to not rock the boat, and I can understand why. I'm not advising you to go to war over it. I'm not saying that you should, you know, do something that would be precipitous, but rather stand your ground and tell him this is wrong, and this is hurting not only our marriage, but this is hurting you. This is going to send you to hell if you don't stop doing this. And what happens, you know? Let's say I don't know exactly how old he is, but if he's in his mid-60s, you know, the possibility of a heart attack or a stroke, anything could take somebody out of this life very quickly. And so maybe you can remind him, you know, do you really want to go to hell? Because if you're continuing down this road with all your rationalizing and pretending that it's really okay when you know that it's not okay, and I'm here to tell you that it's not okay. And what happens if you have a stroke or a heart attack, or you fall and hit your head, or you die in your sleep, or something else happens and you die and you go to hell? Is that what you want? He's probably going to say, well, no, that's not what I want. Well, then repent. Repent and stop doing this. And he may say, I'm addicted to it. Say, well, there are solutions for that. There are people and resources that are available that can help addicts get out of that addiction. Matt Frad has got a lot of resources on his website, mattfrad.com, F-R-A-D-D. He himself, by his own admission, so this is not telling tales out of school, he himself was a porn addict for years. And he realized the damage it was doing to him, and so he was able to climb out of that hole by God's grace and the help of other people. And then he has spent a lot of the last 15 years or so trying to help other people who are similarly trapped in the vice grip of pornography. There are others. Covenant Eyes would be an example. So that's a filtering software. And if you want to suggest this to your husband, I would strongly encourage it. Have, you know, buy this program. I have no connection with them, so it doesn't benefit me. But if you were to buy that program, Covenant Eyes, or another one like it, it's called Accountable to You. So Accountable, the number 2, Y-O-U. You can find them online. This is software, Anonymous, that you can put on your husband's phone and his his tablet. Now he's going to need to say, I really need help. This is a way to do it. So when you put those software filterings programs on the phone, a tablet, laptop, etc., it should be on everything. There shouldn't be any device that he uses that doesn't have this on it. And the way you have it set up is it will automatically send you a text message or an email and say, oh, he's looking at this website. So it can filter it, but it will also give that layer of accountability where it will alert you to this. So since he's staying up late at night when he knows you're asleep and you're not likely to see this, and he quickly shuts the laptop, he thinks he can do this when you're not going to see. Well, now that you know that he's doing it, and he knows that you know that he's doing it, then maybe this would be the next step, which would be to challenge him to say, this is not right. I will not tolerate this. I love you. I want to stay married to you, but I don't want this in my home, and you need to stop. See where that goes. And hopefully it will go in the direction of him saying, all right, I need help. What do I do? This could be a solution for you. There's a book called The Porn Myth, Exposing the Reality Behind the Fantasy of Pornography. That is also by Matt Frad. And I would say give a copy of that book to your husband. There's another one called, I believe it's called Breaking Free, which is a book explaining how to disentangle yourself from this addiction. Steve Wood, his website is dads.org, plural, dads.org. Steve Wood has quite a bit by way of resources, CDs, digital downloads, books, etc., to help men who are struggling with the addiction to pornography. Women too, for that matter, because there are women who find themselves in the same situation. But since we're talking about your husband, so you might want to check out dads.org. And I would, if I were you, I would recommend being very blatant about it. You know, plop a copy of the book down on the coffee table or the kitchen table right in front of him and say, you need to read this. So those are my heartfelt suggestions. I'm so sorry that this is happening. It's not uncommon. In fact, it's probably the most common serious sin, at least according to the priests that I've talked to, who tell me that, you know, in confession, this is the number one sin that is confessed in the sacrament of confession. And that's by men and women, by the way. And those are just the people who are going to confession. Just imagine all God's people out there who are not going to confession and who are stuck in this sin. And they haven't even taken the right step in the right direction to start getting out of it. So it is a big problem. I'm not saying that, you know, to minimize the gravity of what's going on, but just so that you know that you're not alone. And there are many women, many men too, for that matter, who are desperately trying to escape from this. And it is possible by God's grace, but you have to want to do it. You have to want to be liberated from this. Otherwise, it will devour you. And eventually, it will send you to hell. So you have my empathy and my encouragement, and I'm hopeful that some of these practical things I'm suggesting will be useful to you. Thank you for the email, as hard as it was, I'm sure, to write that. Let's go to Mark in Maine before we have to take our break. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Patrick. I just wanted to comment about what you're currently talking about. I was that guy. And I got caught once and swore on my mother's grave that I would never do it again, which was a lie. I got caught again, and I didn't turn myself around until I came home from work and my suitcases were packed and out on the front porch and the door was locked. And from that point on, I made the decision that I was going to stop doing this. And I had at that time we had the tabletop PCs.
Yeah.
Disconnected it, took it out and threw it away. And you can beat it. It is an addiction. It can be beat, but you have to want it. And she has to get him to go to confession because, as you said, this is a terrible sin and it will condemn you. And you know, if he's given her all these excuses about, you know, how it's good for him and it's normal and whatnot, she needs to look at him and say, then why are you doing it at 1 o'clock in the morning? If it's such a normal thing and it's good for you, why aren't you just sitting in bed with me and, you know, taking your medicine or whatever, however he's trying to phrase it, because, you know, and I know that he's, that it's not, but like any addiction, you know, he has to admit that he has this addiction. He has to want to change, but you can do it. And I know in my state, there are support groups that you can go to, and you become like buddies, you know, someone mm-hmm. will check up on you buddies. And things like that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she can do it, but it's really hard, and I feel bad for her because my wife went through hell.
Did you and your wife reconcile, and you're able to get back on track in your marriage?
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fantastic. So
it can happen.
Yeah, that's so great to hear that it worked for you. Thank you for that. And thanks for giving some
encouragement. I'm going to pray for her.
Yeah, thank you for that. And her husband, too. Boy, does he need it. Food for thought before we go to the break. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, "And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire." Now, obviously, Jesus doesn't literally mean to cut your hand or your foot off, but he does mean that if your internet connection is sending you to hell, then get rid of it. If your smartphone is sending you to hell, get rid of it. Get a dumb phone. Get a flip phone that you can't get in trouble on. If that's what it takes, that's what you do. Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 through 9. Ponder those. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
I like this song. Put a note next to that song, Cyrus. I like it. 888-914-9149. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Let's go to Megan in Portland, Maine. Good morning, Megan.
Hi, good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm celebrating my saint day. It's awesome.
Yes, and I am so happy. Made Irish Car Bomb cupcakes to celebrate.
So an Irish Car Bomb, that's whiskey and beer. What? That's a Boilermaker, I guess. What is a? I've heard of Irish Car Bombs. I don't fully understand what goes into that drink.
Yeah, so you need a shot of whiskey and some Bailey's Irish Cream and some Guinness.
There we go.
Yeah.
And those were made into cookies or cupcakes, you say?
Cupcakes, yes.
I'll be right over. Once the show's
over. Yeah, right. I'll save some for you.
All right. Thank you.
Hop a plane. Yeah. Well, Patrick, I just wanted to comment on the issue of pornography. You know, like you had mentioned, women deal with this too. And all the women in my rosary group, who are much older than me, are always very shocked to learn that that's something that I struggled with. I'm going to be 30 this year, so I'm a millennial. And I grew up in the internet age, and I was exposed at a very young age. And by the time I was in college,
was it a friend
at home?
At home. Okay, so you found
at home.
You found the computer on when somebody didn't know or something like that.
It was just unmonitored. It wasn't even something on my mom's radar. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was playing games on it. And, you know, this is back when the dial up, so it's really slow. Yeah. But, you know, the picture could come up.
Yeah. And absolutely.
Yeah. It was easy to access.
So the women in your group. Oh, okay. I don't want to get in your way. I really want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, sure.
So I'll stop. I'll stop interrupting you. Please go ahead.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Well, so I was just going to say, by the time I was in college, I was fully addicted. And when I met my current husband, my now husband, he was addicted as well. And it's not even something that we talked about until we started exploring the Catholic Church together. And then when we were alerted that, hey, this is really problematic, and we started digging into some of the science behind it, how it changes your brain and how it affects your relationship and all of that, we said to each other, hey, look, I have this problem. And he said, oh, yeah, I have this problem, too. And so we decided to make the change together. And we've been free and clear of the addiction now for a couple of years. We've been married for 3 years. So we've been, it's been 2 years that we've been clear, but it's still like every now and then it's on my mind. So it's a serious problem. And I've, you know, talked to my niece and my nephew who are 13 and 14 and say, please, please don't ever even start looking at it.
So when you were, you mentioned when you were in college, did you perceive that this was widespread among your peers, or did you feel like I'm the only one and nobody knows, or what was your experience with that?
No, it's everybody.
Yeah. Men and women.
Experience. I am positive.
Over the years, Megan, you know, from time to time, well, quite frequently, I go and speak at parishes and conferences around the country. And from time to time, I would stay, like when I'm there for a weekend, I would stay at the rectory. And so I've had many, many, you know, long talks into the evening with parish priests after everything's done. And we sit and have a glass of wine or something and we talk. And over the years, I've heard from scores of priests when I ask them, just anecdotally, what is the most common sin you hear confessed when you're hearing confessions? And it's always, no hesitation, it's always that pornography. Pornography.
Yes.
And so what you're telling me is not a surprise, although it is shocking. And I guess it's shocking to the ladies in the group because maybe, why do you think they're shocked? Is it because it never happened to them or because they're shocked that somebody's talking about it publicly?
Well, we're a pretty open group. but I think it's shocking to them because it wasn't easily accessible to them, first of all. Second of all, they grew up in very lovely, beautiful, wholesome Catholic homes, which I did not grow up in. I had a there's no religion in my home, and I had divorce, and there was abuse, and so I experienced a lot of stuff that they did not. And so, oftentimes, when I would share, it would be like, "Oh my goodness, really? That's wild." So. I think that's, it's a little bit of both. It wasn't easily accessible to them when they were, you know, most of the women are in their 50s and 60s. And, you know, you had to get a magazine back then. And it was kind of difficult to get in rural Maine.
And you had, in a town not far from where I live, there is an adult bookstore. And I always wonder, Lord, we have meteorites falling onto Earth all the time. Why can't one just fall on that after hours when there's nobody there, no one will get hurt? Why can't, you know, can that just be where the meteor lands? But in that town, that where that adult bookstore is, that used to be the edge of town. That used to be outside of town. So that back in the day, you know, and I'm surmising this, but I'm assuming that 30 years ago or whatever, you had a pretty good chance of no one seeing you go there. Now it's not in the outskirts of town. Now there's plenty all around it. So the people who go there, and I always marvel when I drive by that place, there's always like five or six cars in the parking lot. I would think, how do you not curl up in a ball of shame knowing that anybody could see you walking in and out? But there's the addiction.
But people are proud of it now. There's the difference. I mean, out of college, I worked in a bar, and you know, there were all kinds. I worked with transgender people and gay people and who were beautiful people. I still love them. You know, I see their lifestyle in a different light now, certainly. Mm-hmm. Sexuality is celebrated in a very different way nowadays with my generation.
Yeah. It's almost
it really is alarming.
Or
yes,
I'm not sure if I have the right word for it, but there's a kind of aggressiveness about here's how I am, and you better like it. And if you don't like it, you better keep your mouth closed.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It's very in your face.
Have you had any conversations, Megan, with people that you knew back in the day before you had your transformation that you've shared with your freedom from this? Have you gotten any reactions from them?
Oh, yeah. I have. And it's a lot of surprise because I was, you know, as liberal as you get politics-wise. I canvassed for the Democratic Party in Maine. I had a Planned Parenthood T-shirt. So my change has been incredibly dramatic. It's been miraculous.
Praise God.
I feel very, very grateful to kind of escaped. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Praise God.
Well, I'm happy for you and your husband. Go ahead, Megan.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have had these conversations, and a lot of times, you know, with my own family included, because there's nobody in my family who's Catholic. And so there's a lot of surprise and a little bit of, you know, like questioning. No one's pushed back super hard or been aggressive because I think because of how I came to the faith and how I had to realize that this is all out of love. It's not out of hate that we condemn, you know, the transgender and the gay lifestyle. It's not the person that is condemned. It's the lifestyle. It's what they're choosing to do with their sexuality, not their urges, that's condemnable. You know?
We all have
an
intrinsic desire for this. God made us with this desire. He made us with this attraction.
Right.
And as you know, you don't need me to tell you, but for those listening, that's why this is so important to keep it contained, because if you don't keep it contained, it's like nuclear radiation. It can destroy everything in its path if it's not ordered properly. And the destruction that happens in the lives of people, loss of marriage, loss of job, loss of health, loss of life in some cases. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. And I think what was really freeing for me was that I always knew that it was wrong. I just didn't understand why, because I was being told in so many different directions that it was okay, that it was right, that it was fine, that everybody does it. And so to finally be told, no, this isn't right. And here's why, in a logically, lovingly, way that it's okay that why you're feeling badly about this is this reason. And to have that epiphany, oh my gosh, well, no wonder I've been feeling so bad about this and I didn't understand why.
So it validated what you knew in your heart to be true, but no one had ever articulated it that way to you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, any advice before we have to go to a break? It's been a great conversation. Any advice, especially for maybe young parents your age who have children and might be tempted to give them, I mean, here I go again. I'm anti-smartphone for kids. But even beyond that, do you have any advice for just your peers or people who are going to be raising children?
Yeah. I echo you. I completely agree. Don't give them phones. We have friends who have their kids have like a, I would say, smartwatch, but all it does is make phone calls. And you can only call the numbers that are programmed into the thing itself. They don't have access to the internet or anything. So if your kid needs to be able to contact you, do that. No smartphones, none whatsoever. Extremely limited technology.
Amen.
And monitor it. Covenant Eyes, that program, I've recommended it. It's not something that we've implemented in our home. We have a toddler, and I'm pregnant with our second.
Oh, congratulations. But,
thank you so much. But that would be my advice. And if anyone's struggling with this, especially women, I feel like there's, you know, Catholic women, Christian women, there might be a little bit more shame involved because we feel like, you know, well, I'm a woman. I'm not supposed to have these same urges that men do. Well, yeah, we do. And it's normal and it's healthy to have those urges, but in the right order with your spouse. And so talk about it. Just talk about it and find support.
Any advice for your peers, maybe who don't have children, but they're just going from day to day in this addiction and who feel like maybe they can't get free of it? They don't know how to get free of it?
Well, I mean, I would bring it to your priest. I would bring it to your pastor. That was one of the first things that I did. Even before I was Catholic, I was on a retreat and I had a, you know, like a faux confession. I wasn't baptized yet, so I couldn't make a full confession. But I talked to him about it and said, you know, I feel this shame. And it really starts with making the decision to change, to repent, to change your mind and do something different. So to stand firm in that and say, no, I'm doing this because I love myself and it's healthy for me to stop doing this because it is hurting me. And to stay firm in that. And if you fall, pick yourself back up and try again.
And that's what the sacrament of confession is for. You know, those who find themselves falling down, the Lord will pick you back up and dust you off and give you the strength. Well, Megan, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, I've got to take a break, but I'm so glad you called today. It's been very, very helpful for a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. I really appreciate you. Every time during nap time, I listen to your show that's been, you know, previously recorded the few hours beforehand. So I love your show. It's the second time I've chatted with you over the past couple of years, and I really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you, Megan. God bless you and your husband and your children, your baby on the way. And I look forward to the next time that we talk, whenever that may be. Thank you. I'll be right back. Do you want to deepen your Catholic education? If so, you should go check out the new free online Catholic history class from Christendom College. Just go to principalsclasses.com/Madrid.
Scotland Yard would love to get their hands on that piece of evidence.
Yes, they're always after me, Lucky Charms. What? Why does everyone always laugh when I say that? They are after me, Lucky Charms. What?
It's a television commercial.
They're magically delicious.
This is The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
One day a year, Cyrus gets to play with all these toys. Just one day. And he's making the most of it.
Thank you, Patrick.
By the way, I got a note from a listener named Frank. He says, Patrick, are we going to get some bad analogies today? Would make my day on the way home tonight. Well, you're in luck, sir, because we played that in the first hour, the bad analogies, courtesy of Lutheran Satire. If you missed it and you listen to the replay this evening, the first hour of the Patrick Madrid Show has it. It's a custom. It's a tradition here on the Patrick Madrid Show. So, yeah, you'll be able to hear that tonight, and thank you. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Ted now in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Ted.
Good morning. Hi.
Hi.
Just to comment on the subject matter, I was in some of that long ago now, thank goodness.
Some of
thank
what?
God. The videos and the images.
Porn?
Trying to be careful.
Okay.
There you go. You said it. Your show. But I was thankfully, luckily, able to lay that at the foot of the cross. And I really did. I prayed. Like I've never prayed in my life, and lucky for that, but doesn't work for everyone. But the seal of the deal for me, I don't hear this mentioned much, but to consider them, these are human beings, God bless them, on these screens. And they're being exploited. They're being used. They're being violated. And their soul is in a very, very precarious place. And the way I liken it is, would a person, and I've misused the word you, so never do I mean you personally, but would you walk up to a lady in public and would you violate her right there? Would you grope? Would you commit some act? No. You know, that's a person. The guy behind the camera is making money off of her. He's exploiting her.
You know, Ted, to your points, there's an interesting but very horrifying angle to what you're saying, and that is with what's known as the metaverse, the new alternative reality, the artificial intelligence-induced reality. There are increasing number of reports about women who go onto the metaverse and immediately get groped and quote-unquote raped, because obviously this is digital.
Really?
And it's shocking just how quickly it happens. So if she's in an avatar that's of a woman, because because these guys have been feeding on real porn in the real life for so long, when they see a woman in a fake setting like the metaverse, they act out immediately. And so when you said that, like you wouldn't really go up to a woman and do that in real life, well, that's really happening now in the so-called metaverse, just to show how bad things have gotten. Yeah.
Human nature is so fragile. We think we're strong, but we can be led. I mean, even somebody who starts out halfway decent. I mean, would you do that? And that's what sealed it for me, because, I mean, that's a human. And I'm able to, when they pop up and say that, I don't even try. I'm looking at Facebook, and it surprises you. And I don't even have any kind of scorn or condemnation for these folks. My first thought is, oh, honey, I don't want you there. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why are you there? There's so much better for you. I mean, if we're to love our brothers and sisters, then we want what's best for them. And you click once, I don't care if it's free, doesn't matter. You are participating. You're providing monies for that industry. No matter how.
What was it for you, Ted, that flipped the switch for you to say, no mas, I'm done, I'm out of here? What was it for you?
It was a middle-aged, first of all, sort of crisis to finally mature and start looking for the bare, cold, basic, solid, rock-solid truth in life. And look, here's all this junk in my soul, in my heart, and it's got to go. And this is one huge thing. And it was everything. It was a house cleaning. And, you know, I'm still working on it. I mean, you know, you can't spring clean in a day or a weekend. It was that. It left every experience emptied you. It was not filling. It was almost like, as they say, eating celery, no calories. It's really kind of a boring vegetable, if it's a vegetable, I don't know. But, you know, it was, first of all, emptying, and then shame. And it took time for the shame to become really, really shame. And I think that's a maturity, and then a deeper, deeper pursuit of the faith. And that's where Christ really stepped in for me. But that didn't work for everybody until you get there in the faith. So you got to think about the other, because I'm a knight. I do these things, I'm out, and I don't pay much attention at all. It's some so-called image of mine. I don't care. But, you know, people would describe me as a good guy or a decent guy, always helpful, you know, kind and all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is that was in the shadows, and you can't have that duplicity.
And then, there are a lot of people who lead double lives who maybe they don't know what else to do, but outwardly they present themselves as, hey, you know, I'm a Catholic and I go to Mass on Sunday, and yet they have this secret hidden double life that nobody knows about. And that kind of shame, or that kind of trying to keep up the appearance of one thing when you've got the other thing going on, for many people, it's a hamster wheel, and they don't feel like they can get out of that. They can't move away from it. And you did, thanks be to God. What would you, in 30 seconds, Ted, what would you tell your 20-year-old self if you could have a man-to-man conversation with your 20-year-old self? What advice would you give your 20-year-old self about this topic?
About this topic?
Yes.
It's empty. It's worthless. It's evil. Stay away from it. I don't care how enticing it is. Just don't even start once. And how many things could we say about that? But still, that's what I would say. And that's what I say to my son. And my son knows absolutely. I said, your definition of a man, how you're defined as a man, is how you treat ladies. And that means sexually.
Yeah.
He's 18. Even if she wants it, your job is to say no, because that defines you as a Catholic man of Christ. That's how I taught him.
That's good. That's good. Well, he's got a good father.
It goes through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough for all of us. We all have desires. But
that's true. That is true. Well, Ted, thank you. I appreciate your candor. And I know it's not an easy topic to talk about, but it's an important one. And I appreciate your contribution. Thank you. Listen to what St. Paul said on this issue. This is in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that if you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once yielded your members to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now yield your members to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the return you get is sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's almost as if human beings 2,000 years ago had the same problems we do today. And that's because they did.
Yeah, Patrick, tell us.
There's nothing new under the sun. There's no sin or temptation that you can experience that isn't known to humankind in general. Now, maybe the opportunities are more prevalent now than they were before. They didn't have smartphones 2,000 years ago, but they had the same problems and the same addictions, the slavery, as St. Paul describes it. So if any of this commentary and the phone calls that you just heard and the letter that I read to you from the anonymous lady whose husband she caught looking at pornography, if any of that resonates with you or makes you feel ashamed or makes you feel worried or any of those things, I mean, make use of those feelings to turn away from it. God will help you, but maybe crack open your Bible to Romans chapter 6 and start reading. Start reading at about verse 16 and ponder those words and what they mean for you. Because as St. Paul says in conclusion, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nobody wants to die. Everyone wants to live. And knowing that, I mean, what better incentive to begin the process of turning away from something that inexorably leads to death? Inexorably. You can't avoid it if you stay on that path. And what did Jesus say? He said, wide and well-traveled is the road that leads to perdition, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. He says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. So Jesus knows what you're dealing with, and he's there to help you. He wants to give you the grace. And if you're Catholic and you find yourself in that situation, get thee to confession. Just go to confession. And trust me, I've heard this from scores and scores of Catholic priests around the country for the last 35 plus years. They will not be the least bit surprised when you confess sins in this category, the category of pornography and the sins that are commonly associated with that sin. They've heard it a billion and one times. They're there to help you by giving the grace of the sacrament. And you need that, obviously. You need the grace to stay strong. And it's there for you. So don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Just go to confession. Be sorry for your sins. Move on. The Lord will help you. There's freedom waiting on the other side. You just have to say yes to it. I'll be right back.